gentlemen, it's time for another round of racing and rocking with Dragnest.com. Staging in the left lane is your host, founder and creator of the Draglist, Bill Pratt. And in the right lane, John, the Wildcat. You're going to hear news and interviews from the world of drag racing, both now and then. So get yourself situated, pull your belts tight, grab your favorite beverage, and get ready for some racing and rocking.
Happy Monday, everybody. Welcome to Racing and Rockin' with Draglist.com, produced and broadcast by the Zeus Radio Network for Racers Reunion Radio. I'm Bill Pratt. It's great to be with you tonight, because tonight we feature one of the most unique personalities and jobs in the sport today, Pro Modified Crew Chief Amanda Hoover. That's right, guys, a lady tuning the shots and calling the shots on a pro mod car. This is going to be great talking with her. I'll ask some racing questions. John will ask some rocking questions. And you can join our live chat during the show at racersreunion.com. Also, if you're not looking already, we're up on Facebook Live. So go to the draglist.com fan page and join us there. But without further ado, welcome to the show, Amanda Hoover. How are you tonight?
I'm great. How are you guys?
Doing great. Oh, my gosh. Well, you ought to be super pumped, because we just found out you and the Eddie Rogers Chevy Malibu Pro Mod won the big Midwest Pro Mod race at San Antonio this weekend. Congratulations.
Well, thank you. And it's a Chevelle.
Chevelle.
Put that out there. It's a Chevelle. It's a 69 Chevelle. But, yes, we just won the Midwest Pro Mod Series race in San Antonio. This is our second win for the season with the organization, and we are very, very happy with the teams we have to compete against taking home those wins.
Yeah, because that's really a circuit full of some hitter cars, isn't it?
It is. It definitely is. You've got Keith Haney and Chris Duncan with his car, Cody Barklage. You know, you've got people that have been running Pro Mods for a long time. Ron Minnix. A lot of great cars. A lot of heavy hitters.
Right, absolutely. So Haney runs that series as well as drives in it, doesn't he?
Yes, he does.
Yeah,
yes, he does. He's done a great job with it.
Well, I know. I tell you what, he's putting out the cash. Can we say how much you guys won on the air, or are we going to send people
after? Absolutely, no, it's fine.
$10,000, ladies and gentlemen, and that was a great, great trip to San Antonio for sure.
Oh, definitely. Definitely was great taking home the $10,000.
Do you guys run primarily on that circuit, or are there some of the other circuits you run down there in the Southwest?
Well, this year we have focused primarily on the Midwest Pro Mod Series. Next year, I believe we're planning on doing the exact same thing. We love the series, so we're in to support it all the way. Sometimes we do add a few other races in amongst it. We were talking about going to Cordova next year some. Mm-hmm. So we try to hit a few more, but the Midwest Pro Mod Series is definitely where we're sticking with.
That's really great. So we'll get into the team makeup in a moment. What length of track do you typically run? Do you usually run on the eighth, or sometimes leg it out through the quarter?
We do usually run the eighth. Where we're at, most of the tracks just run eighth mile, so that's pretty much what we're set up for.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's the thing these days with these quick, crazy pro mods and the threes and fours all over the place. It's ridiculous. How fast do you guys go typically?
Well, our fastest time is a 3.78 at 196 miles an hour. For the Midwest Pro Mod Series, the rules on it, typically we're low 380s.
Mm-hmm.
Hopefully we'll see some 370s the next time we're out in Tulsa.
You're waiting for that big 200 one of these days, I guess?
Oh, we'd love to see that, definitely. With
well,
the roof floor, that would be great.
Yeah, well, that's the thing. You know, a lot of folks don't realize that. You know, there's a little bit of a difference between the Roots blower and the newer blowers that take a little bit less work to make them force the air through, and as a result, you lose some of the horsepower in that extra work. So,
there definitely is a huge difference between the Roots blowers and the screw blowers and all the other boosted applications.
Right. Let's not forget the turbo guys these days and nitrous. Yeah,
well, that's what I was thinking of too, is turbos, pro chargers.
It's all over the place. Well, tell us about your team. So the great thing is you are the tuning. You make the tuning shots on that car. Tell us how the rest of the Eddie Rogers team works.
Well, we are kind of different in that. It's definitely a family race team. My stepdad is Eddie Rogers. He drives a car. He services and maintains car between races and during the races. My mom's, we call her the ringleader because she makes sure that Eddie and myself don't go crazy and trying stuff or doing something way out in left field. She's kind of our voice of reason at times when we want to get a little crazy. Gotcha. But it's just the three of us. We run the car at all the races, just the three of us.
Really amazing. So how do you break down the duties? So you do the tuning shots and then you kind of chase after them with the car?
I definitely do the tuning. I pack the parachutes. Starting line, we have headsets, so that makes it really easy. He does his burnout. I back him up, set the wheelie bars, and then run up to the front and pull him into the lights. When we get back to the pits, everyone has their job, and we have a checklist, and everyone marks when they've done their job on the checklist. We all help Eddie when we can. My mom helps him turn the motors while he's setting valves and doing all that kind of stuff. Typically, we don't have any huge disasters at the track, which is really nice.
Mm-hmm,
if we do have something where we need to change the transmission or change the motor, you know, do whatever we need to do, it's all hands on deck.
Yeah, right. So that's so cool. Well, tell us, I mean, what are some of the tuning decisions you make? Do you take a look at the weather station? Do you do air pressure in the tire? Do you do blower boost? What sorts of things do you make a decision on during race day?
Well, definitely the weather plays a huge factor in it, whether it's hot, whether it's cool, how much water's in the air. Track conditions, of course, are huge. Middle of the day, sunny, hot, or a nice, cool fall day, and it's nice and tight, and you can really lay some power down. Definitely tire pressure, wheelie bars, timing, and we run EFI, which kind of a new thing within the blower cars, but we run EFI, so definitely all the fuel system, all the timing, all of that. I download the race pack, look at all the information from it, which is, I tell people it's a whole bunch of squiggly lines, but there's so much information in it. So there's a lot that I'm looking over and checking between rounds to make a call for the next round.
Okay, that's really, really great stuff. And you bet it's, and everybody that thinks that these things, you just go out there and mash them and go. I mean, there's so many things you have to have right. And when you're talking about thousands of a second, hundreds and thousands of a second, every little bit counts, especially on an eighth mile, because there's no room to recover with the biggest top end charge. You got to get it right.
I tell everyone it's like a symphony of chaos. When everything goes right, it's beautiful. And when it goes wrong, it's really bad.
Right. Oh my gosh. Well, how did you get interested in drag racing in the first place? Did you have a motorsports background before Eddie became your stepfather?
No, not really. I was just the girl that would rather play with Hot Wheels than Barbies, and my first car was a 68 Camaro, so in high school, running around town, I was always out drag racing with the guys, and I've just always loved cars. And then whenever my mom and Eddie got together, and he was drag racing a lot locally and stuff, and I started to get to go more and more, and the more I was there, the more I learned, and the more everything's went to computers, the more I've just really grabbed it up, and I love it.
That's really great. Yeah, so you're on the cutting edge. You brought that stuff along. That's fantastic.
Yes, but it's always good to keep the old school stuff too. You have to be able to read spark plugs. You have to be able to read bearings. You still have to do that, but the computers are nice.
Right. Yeah. You never know when the computer might be wrong. You know, a computer might have a glitch, and your spark plugs will tell you something different to tell you the real.
That's exactly right. That's exactly right. Or have the sensor go bad.
Right. I mean, that's the thing. It's just one more level of complexity. It provides you a wealth of knowledge, but it's one more thing that can go wrong on a highly sophisticated race car.
That's exactly right.
Well, I'm sure you're on top of it. So any thoughts of getting behind the wheel one of these days? Have you talked about that?
Actually, a long time ago, I really wanted to. It was a thought I really wanted to, and the more I've gotten into the tuning side of things and making things work and the information, and the more satisfaction I actually get from standing on the starting line and watching that car make a good run. Because when it makes a good run, I'm just standing on the starting line in heaven.
Yeah. That's like, great.
I did that.
That's right. That's right. It's me. That's right. That's right. Fantastic. Well, I mean, it's such a great story. I mean, it sounds like it'd be perfect to go around talking to young girls and boys, you know, here and there. Have you had any opportunities to go around and telling kids at schools and stuff about the stuff you do? Because I have to imagine a lot of young girls don't think about it, and a lot of boys need to think about, you know, this as a career choice as well.
Well, absolutely. I actually did get to go to the local college for their automotive program, and I ended up speaking to, I think, 3 classes that day, just different, like the auto body class and the automotive repair class. And so I did get to do that about a year ago.
That was great.
A lot of fun. It's really hard with so many of those type of classes being cut from the classrooms now. It's really a sad thing.
Right. No, I agree with you. You know, shop and auto mechanics and that stuff is going away, man. I tell you, the money is... My wife's a teacher, so I hear about it every day. All I want to know and more. But yeah, I do think we got to... I don't know. It's kind of all tying into some of the blue-collar work is going away in this country. And, you know,
it is. And, well, I've always told my kids, if you want to go to college, that is great. But if you don't want to, if you want to do something else, we need people who know how to do things.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So...
Well, I'm the same. I got one in, went through college, and another one said, "Dad, I don't want to go." So he didn't, and he went in the Navy, and now he's doing other cool things. So, you know, you got to give them the opportunity.
I understand.
Let them do their thing.
Exactly. And they're going to be happier in the long run as well.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, speaking of doing your thing, tell us about your reconstruction of furniture. I understand that's a hobby that you do as well.
Well, actually, I just opened up a new shop. So, yes, I actually redo furniture. Anything from what people find on Pinterest that they say, "Oh, that's so cute, can you make that?" Absolutely. Mm-hmm. To I've been doing a lot of like family heirlooms where over the years they've got a ding or a scratch or something like that, and they bring it in to me to fix it and make it where they can put it back in their living room again.
Nice. That's great.
Yes, I love it. I love the stories.
Yeah.
I have some great stories. It makes you realize what is important in life.
Every piece has one, doesn't it?
Yes.
That's great. So do you do the like carpentry as well, and you kind of put them all together from top to bottom, or upholster, or what's the story?
I can do just about anything.
So great.
I reupholster. I fix all kinds of stuff. It's basically whatever you bring to me, I can pretty well get it done.
Wow. Well, how do folks find that service? Do you have a website or an address of the store?
Well, I actually have a Facebook page. It's called Refunction, Refunktion.
Cool.
Yes.
Okay. Let's get funky with some Refunction. We're ready. I love
exactly.
it. Exactly. Well, good luck. So Refunction, go to Facebook page, folks, and find Amanda there. Also, I understand you have quite a Jones for Sour Patch Kids. I'm looking at your Facebook page here. You got this massive Cheerios-sized backs of Sour Patches. That's enough to pucker you up for about a half a year right there.
Oh, my goodness. I think if I ate that whole box, I probably wouldn't be able to eat anything because my taste buds would be gone. Yes, I love Sour Patch Kids. Everyone we race with knows. I usually have a 1-pound bag, and I go around to all the racers and offer them Sour Patch Kids.
Uh-huh.
And it's even gotten to the point that when we go to races, I have racers bring them to me.
Yeah, oh, sweet.
We call them Amanda's Cracks, so that's my race day. When I don't feel like eating, I will eat Sour Patch Kids.
Yeah, that'll keep you a combination of corrosive and jumped up, hyped up. That'll do it.
Exactly.
Well, you got any crazy... Speaking of that, that's a pretty good racing story right there. You got any other racing stories that happened on the road or at the track that you think folks would find pretty interesting? I know there's always something that happened.
Well, there's always stories, but I'm trying to think of what would be something different than than what most everyone else's stories are. I think we all pretty much have the same stories of disasters and calamities and
right.
just rolling in the floor because of something stupid, or you've been racing all weekend and you're so tired, you're delirious.
Yeah. Well, tell me about your favorite win. Was this last weekend the favorite win you've had, or the best time you've had at the drags?
My favorite win was actually Memphis PDRA 3 years ago. It was our last race with our old Corvette, our old car. We decided to go to the PDRA race in Memphis, and going through eliminations, we actually took out both Galat cars. There weren't four cars in there,
wow.
It was only two. But we took out Kevin Revenbark, and we took out Todd Tetero in the same race. That was probably my favorite race because, like, Todd Tetero is someone that I look up to. I admire what he can do. So to actually take him out in a race was very cool.
That's huge. And, folks, you know, Todd doesn't get the credit he deserves. He's one of the great Pro Mod pioneers. I mean, I was announcing him when I was announcing. That was many moons ago. And he's been around
for a long time.
So, did you go up to him and say, get a load of that, Todd?
I'm too humble for that because I know that he still has so many years on me that you'd just laugh in my face probably.
Yeah, he would. The Galat cars are pretty funny though. I'm like, what the heck is Galat? And until I realized it's get a load of this. That's pretty wild.
Yes. It's a cute play on words.
Yeah, well, that seemed to work out. Well, man, do you get any shout outs for us tonight before I turn you over to John?
Well, I have to say hi to Rooster because he's an amazing fan and I know that he's listening. So hi, Rooster, and hi to all the rest of the Mojo fans, and hi, Mom, and love you if you're listening at home. I think she is, so.
I reckon she's probably tuned in. She's probably turned
the
TV down.
She probably is.
Turn this on. Well, it's been so great visiting with you. That's our racing portion of the show. Let me turn you over to John Bockelman for the rocking portion. John, take it away.
Well, thanks, BP. Amanda, we'd like to know what your favorite kind of music is.
Probably my favorite kind of music is hard rock, but I listen to everything under the sun. If you plug my phone into an iPod and just hit shuffle, there is no telling what will come out of it.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Well, if in the hard rock genre, do you have any particular favorite artists, or is it just the style of music that appeals to you?
Let's see. I love Sick Puppies. That is one of my most favorite groups. They sing probably my favorite song when I'm going racing, which is mm-hmm. You're Going Down. Love that song
right.
when we're racing. Breaking Benjamin is one of my current favorites.
Uh-huh.
New band I really like is Highly Suspect. They're a little different, so I like them because it's not the same thing over and over and over.
Oh.
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah, we went and saw ZZ Top a couple of weekends ago, and I don't know if you could call them hard rock, in a sense they are, but that was the first concert I'd been to in a long time. Have you been to any concerts lately that you had a good time at?
I actually went and seen Sick Puppies a year ago. That was probably that was the last one I'd went to. But it's funny you said ZZ Top because I saw them probably 5 years ago in Vegas, and that was one of the best shows I've ever seen.
I bet that was.
I love ZZ Top because they are great performers. They came out, they sang, they played, and it wasn't a lot of hubbub. It was just they played their music and they were great.
That's awesome. That's what they did here. They didn't have any special effects, no stage props. They just came out as those three guys playing, and they did all their hits, you know. But of course, when we're leaving, my sister-in-law says, "Well, why didn't they do, you know, such and such a song?"
Yeah.
You know, and I was going, "Well, I didn't even think about that. I was just enjoying the performance, you know." Well, that's
yes.
great, you know. Most of our guests are into hard rock. I'd say a good 70% of them have told us that the hard rock music has more to do with the sport of drag racing than anything else, although some of them are into jazz. You know, Mike Smith, the funny car guy, he's a jazz guy. And then we had another guy that was in a country, and one guy said he doesn't listen to music at all.
Really?
So
that's crazy. Well, he said it. My if you listen to my iPod, it is a crazy mix, because like when I'm cooking dinner with the kids, I'll turn on jazz. I like jazz music. If I'm just feeling in a goofy mood, I might turn on some gangster rap music just to be silly. Mm-hmm. So it's funny. I think for me, music has a lot to do with mood. So it depends on what I'm getting ready for or what I'm doing on what I want to listen to.
Mm-hmm. I think a lot of it has to do with the high energy and the power behind it. To me, it relates to drag racing. In fact, the first drag race I saw was a match race between two Top Fuel dragsters. And after they made that pass, I stepped back and I said, "That is rock and roll." I see the two of them as the same. Well, that's great stuff, Amanda.
And, well, I'll tell you what, it's great stuff indeed. And, of course, John, when you saw those couple Top Fuelers, I hate to tell tales on you, but that would have been some 60s rock at the time. Those dudes were front engine bad boys back in the day. But
yes, it was. They ran 8 flat and laid down a quarter mile of smoke. It was really cool.
That is great. I love that.
Well, Amanda, man, speaking of great, you are great. Thank you so much for joining us tonight. It's been an absolute blast to talk to you. Best of luck the rest of the season, and, you know, keep in touch. We'll get you back on here again after your next big win one of these days.
All right, sounds great. Thank you for having me.
You bet. Ladies and gentlemen, thank Amanda you. Hoover just tuned her Pro Mod race car to a $10,000 payday down in San Antonio. Congratulations, and great talking
with her.
Thank
you so much.
All right, let's turn it over to John Bachleman for this week's JB's Take and the Racer of the Week.
Thanks, BP. My pick for Racer of the Week is David Debutiaco from Maui, Hawaii. David was recommended to me by our friend and David's lineman, John Fukumoto. Thanks, John. David is originally from Waianae, Hawaii. He started racing motocross at the age of 9. Then he tried out drag racing motorcycles in the early 1990s on Oahu Raceway Park. When they closed the track down there, David moved to Maui in 2005. It took him a while to get back into building a bracket racing drag bike. Brock Davidson of Brock's Performance Ohio had the answer: a stock, untouched, motored Kawasaki ZX-10R Gen 4 project would run in the 8s. David thanks Brock, Ben Knight, and the staff at Brock's Performance. He did a few things to his little 998cc 2012 Kawasaki ZX-10R. It is now the quickest stock-motored ZX-10 in the nation. David's fastest quarter-mile pass is an 837 ET at 161.87 miles per hour. He sent me the time slip from that run. Some of David's notable accomplishments are: he is the 2011, 2013, and 2017 Hawaii State Motorcycle Drag Bike Champion. He is the 2013 and 2016 National Dragster Challenge WALI Champion. David is the 2016 Valley Isle Timing Association Pro Bike Points Champion. David told me he gives thanks to God, number one, his wife Cindy, his family, his team, who is John Fukumoto and Max Renegado, and his support from Brock's Performance, Ohio. He also thanks Hawaii Motorsports LLC, Maui Kawasaki Cycle City in Maui, Magic Bullet Advanced Performance Fuel Treatment, Ted Davis RevTech in Honolulu, and Kiwi Car Care in Maui. His goals are to race one race on the mainland. I hope you can get over here and do that some fine day, David. Let us know when you're coming. Now, with a 140-point lead going with one race to go here, David Debutiaco only has to show up and break the beams to be back-to-back pro bike champion for 2016 and 2017. I might add, he personifies the definition of a champion to me. John told me that David has a reputation as an honest, humble, hard-working guy who helps his fellow racers, loves God, his family, and his chosen sport. I believe that those are the most important attributes you could ever hope to find in a guy, and that makes him a deserving champ in my book. David, we wish you good luck, safe racing, and the best of times in the future. Back to you, BP.
All right. Thank you, John. JB's take, excellent as all. Another great racer of the week. Folks, let's do our sad duty once again. We have our lost friends section every week where we remember folks who passed this previous week and thank them for their contributions to the sport and to their fellow racers. Jack Steck from Atco Raceway, a Chevy Nova racer, passed away earlier this week. Farewell to Jack. Sarge Arciero, the Chop Fuel driver of the Jade Grenade, also drove some funny cars, passed away on the 24th. One of the great 70s era cars, getting a lot of coverage because John Asher of one of the magazines was a partner in the car, Asher, Arciero, and Fleurer. And so lots of good Jade Grenade coverage that we were able to read about throughout the country in our drag mags. So, Sarge, a lot of friends here in the Northeast. Farewell to you, sir. And on the 24th, Daphne Reynolds, the beloved wife of Chad Reynolds from Bangshift. We've had Chad on the show before. Super, super guy, bringing you all, you know, the great drag racing coverage from lots of events. Well, Daphne, just beloved behind the scenes and beloved by everybody, passed away this week due to cancer. And we send our deepest sympathies to Chad and the Bangshift family, of course, to all of Daphne's family and friends. Let's go ahead and wrap up, folks. We want to thank Amanda Hoover, John Bockelman, Danny White, Jeff and Dustin Gilder, Barb Santucci, and Bud, Mr. Drag News DeBoer, for another great show. We'll see you next Monday night. Our guest is going to be nostalgia funny car racer Mark Horvath, the driver of that damn Yankee Vega that you see on the Great Lakes funny car circuit. So looking forward to seeing you then, folks. Have a great week, and we will catch you next Monday night. Adios. Don't bring me our love down.